The Lord be with you.
Welcome
to the Lord's house on this first Sunday in Lent. We hear how an ambush happens when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. Behold the Man is our Lenten Wednesday evening theme. 7:15 p.m. is a devotional service each Wednesday evening. 6:30 p.m. is supper. Sign up back in the narthex if you can attend the supper, and you can note what you'll be able to bring. We have confession and absolution, individual confession and absolution, offered each Saturday in Lent. That's at 11 a.m. to noon. If you haven't come to confession before, don't worry. I'll do for you what my pastor did for me the first time I came to confession. That is kind of lead you through it and guide you. It is for our comfort and assurance, and it's a wonderful preparation for Easter. Be sure to fill out the servanthood survey and leave that either in the offering or back in the bin in the narthex. Those can be filled out by people of all ages. Every member is invited to do so. Concordia A Cappella Choir sings 3 weeks from today. We'll have a group going together to that. That sign up is back in the narthex. I think you'll find out they do amazing things with their voices. No cost on that, by the way. Other announcements or prayers today? Holly.
We started registering for our new pictorial directory today. So before and after services for the next, as long as it takes to get you all signed up. The pictures, the initial 8x10 is free. You don't have to buy. All you have to know is that too little or no. But it allows you, if you have your picture taken, then you get a free directory and a mobile app. So you're all family. We need you all in the book. It's that simple. It's on April the 8th and 9th, which is a little bit different. It's Monday and Tuesday. We start taking the pictures at 2 in the afternoon, and the last session will be at 9. So we're trying to fit it in. If you don't want to sign up here and you want to call me at home when you get to your calendar, that's fine. But we need everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly. Any other announcements or prayers? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. Gloria reminded me of something that I had in the prayers but didn't mention. We include Fern Teese in our prayers today. She did break some ribs Wednesday evening in her fall, so please continue to keep her in prayer. We ask our Lord's blessing on worship this day and know that He will bless us as He comes to us in His word, in His supper, giving us all the benefits of that ambush in the wilderness. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. You may kneel or sit for confession. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your punishment now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord,
have mercy. O Christ,
have mercy. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, good Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Love us, good Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your nativity, by your baptism, fasting and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord, in all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord, to rule and govern your holy church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit. We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To raise those that fall, and to strengthen those that stand, and to comfort the weak-hearted and distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord, to give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve to our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace. O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord, have mercy. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan in all ways that we are yet without sin, grant your Spirit also now to us who are assaulted by manifold temptations, that we may be preserved in body and in soul, and learn obedience through that which we suffer under the cross, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading today is from the book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and shall go to a place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in the office at the time and say to him, I declare today that to the Lord your God, that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, and shall make response for the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, a great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Today's epistle reading is from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he'll command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that hath us now o'ertaken. The old evil foe means deadly woe, deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. With might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. there's none other God. He holds the field forever. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain, with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remains.
The word of God that calls for our attention as we remember the temptation of our Lord is the gospel for this day from Luke chapter 4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. It was July 1863, middle of the Civil War, very beginning of the Battle of Gettysburg, and behind the Union lines, Northern cavalry spotted some distant Confederate cavalry. They were coming their way. In charge of the Union cavalry was a newly minted brigadier general named George Armstrong Custer. You know the name, the guy whose brashness and arrogance got his men killed 13 years later at Little Bighorn. But on this day, his brashness and arrogance actually accomplished something. On the road down which the Confederates were coming toward the Union soldiers, there was a narrow place. It was a place where the Confederate soldiers were going to have to thin out and become stretched out, vulnerable. So Custer placed his best snipers into a barn beside the road and placed the rest of his men and his cannons hidden nearby beside the road where they had perfect shots at the Confederates when they came. Set the trap and he waited for them to arrive, but they didn't come. They went a different direction. So Custer took one little company of his men and rode toward the Confederates, attacked them just enough to get them all riled up, and then he turned and retreated with the angry as hornets Confederates right on his tail. Custer's little group passed right through the narrow stretch of road, but the Union cavalry couldn't do the same. Just as planned, they were thinned out, stretched out, and just when they thought they had an entire company of Union soldiers bagged, bullets rained down from every different direction. Confederate soldiers dropped dead. It was an ambush. That is exactly what happened in our text today. An ambush. Only the victim might not be the one you think was the victim. St. Luke says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. That would be the Jordan River where he was baptized and received the Holy Spirit that he was full of. And was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Now you tell me, why in the world would the Holy Spirit lead the Lord Jesus right out there into the wilderness where he knew Satan would attack? For the very same reason that Custer led his little company up against that big group of Confederate cavalry. Because he wanted to be attacked. Just when the devil thought he was setting an ambush for Jesus, it was Jesus who was setting the ambush for the devil. A trap. Jesus has just been baptized, and then he immediately goes into temptation. Because the moment that you are baptized, you will face temptation. It is as if when your Lord claims you as his child, Satan places a great big target on your back and said, there, these people, demons, they're the ones I want you to attack. And they will not cease ambushing you until the day that you are dead in your coffin. How often do you resist the devil's attacks? Well, you do sometimes. Other times, you don't do so well. As we heard Wednesday night, our Lord says, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. If your Christian life is a test, you cannot score 99.9% and expect to be with your Lord. 100% is all that is acceptable. Because one little sin of Adam and Eve wreaked havoc on this world. And if God let one little sin into his paradise, we'd have the same mess all over again. The same strife, the same struggles, the same hatred, the same wars, the same disease, and the same death. So God rightly says, you must be perfect, 100%. But you aren't. Neither am I. The devil is certain that he has us as his own, that he is going to claim us for all eternity. And that's why Jesus lets the Holy Spirit lead him out into the wilderness so he can take your test for you. It's as if the smartest person in the class lets his grade be counted for everybody else. Jesus lets his record against Satan be counted in place of your record and in place of mine. But you'll notice what that means. If the smartest kid in the class, if Jesus makes one little mistake, one little twinge of doubt of his heavenly Father, one little ounce of lust, one time thinking, well, maybe it would be okay to turn that bread, those rocks into bread, then he's flunked the test not just for him, but for us too, because he's taking it for us. But if Jesus successfully passes the test, and he did, then his grade gets counted as yours and mine. So say to your Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for making yourself vulnerable, for fasting those 40 days, for making sure that you would be attacked by Satan. And with all the sarcasm you can muster, say to the devil, thank you, Satan. Thank you for attacking my Lord Jesus so that he would be tested and could pass that test for me, because that's what gets me into paradise. Thank you, Satan, for being ambushed. You might add, and thank you, Satan, for all the times that you ambush me with temptation. Even those times, you know, it is an ambush, because you think, I've got it. My Christian life is sailing along, and it's at that moment that you really do get attacked, ambushed in ways that you don't expect, the biggest, hardest tests of all. We need those tests to some extent. Martin Luther was told if he would just go to the monastery, he could avoid temptation. And he went to the monastery. He didn't have possessions distracting him, but he said he still coveted possessions. He didn't have women enticing him, but he still lusted. Had God's word ringing in his ears every day, but he came to despise God's word. In other words, trying to avoid temptation did not draw him closer to his Lord. It drove him away from his Lord. What draws us closer to our Lord is having to endure those daily temptations and trusting our Lord to get us through. That's what strengthens our faith. You are baptized. That means you've got that target on you. The demons are attacking you, ambushing you. But you are a Christian. You fight back. One of the ways you fight back is with prayer. Rise to arms with prayer, implore you, we are going to sing. Pray, Lord, I can't do this, but you can. Strengthen me to stand against Satan, and he does. That's what we're praying when we say, lead us not into temptation. Lord, don't let the devil or the world or my own inclinations pull me away from you. Keep me trusting in you. You want to tick Satan off whenever he ambushes you? You know, kind of like Custer did with those Confederates? The best thing to do is to do what Jesus did. Tell him God's word. Learn that word. Know that word. Study that word. Memorize that word. But most of all, believe that word, especially when it says he has conquered the devil for you. Because when Satan tempts us Christians and we rely on our Lord's promises, do you see what happens? Satan's ambushing us, but the opposite that he wants to have happen happens. We are drawn closer to our Lord instead of being separated from our Lord. He ends up being the one who is ambushed. This does not mean that you should go and put yourself into places where you know that you are going to fall. Don't go into situations that you realize I'm likely to give in here. Don't spend time with people who are going to lead you astray. That would be as if Custer ran up to the Confederates, got them all riled up, turned around, but instead of riding away on his horse, got off the horse, stood there in the middle of the road until they shot him to death. Don't put yourself in point-blank range for the devil. But do realize you are going to face temptation. This means learning your Lord's word so that you can respond the way that Jesus did. It means praying. And I'm learning this Lent, it means fasting. I mentioned this on Wednesday night. In fact, I dwelt on it some on Wednesday night. Why do we fast? Well, I haven't typically fasted, so why am I starting this habit? Well, first, remember that my Lord suffered for me. But even more, to discipline this body so that it can be used for God's purposes instead of the way I too often use it for Satan and sin's purposes. And when I truly fast, that is, when I'm hungering, when my stomach is growling and it is yelling for more food, then I'm reminded, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I learn, and I rely on my Lord, and I come to receive the blessed feast that I need more than any other. Jesus' Satan-crushing body and blood placed into mine so that I and you can resist the devil. Now, what about the times that we don't resist the devil? What about the times he ambushes us and is successful? He wins the battle. Confess, repent, and understand that he has not won the war. Jesus won the war. Everything that Jesus did in the wilderness that day, he did for you. His perfect record of resisting Satan is counted as if you had done it. Yeah, God counts you as sinless. Oh, and one more thing. After Jesus left the wilderness, you do realize that Satan got ambushed yet again. At the very end of our text, note what it says. When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. Now you tell me, when would be an opportune time? When is he going to have a better chance of luring Jesus away from his task than he had there when Jesus was at his weakest. Maybe in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus asked that the cup pass from him, when the specter of the cross was looming in front of him, there, Satan tempts him again. And once again, if Jesus even falters for an instant, he fails to pass the test, and we lose our place in heaven. But Jesus does not fail to pass the test. He says, "Not my will, but thine be done." And the next day, he is hung on a cross. The next day, he suffers what you and I deserve to suffer. And when he is dead, Satan assumes that he has finally conquered his nemesis. But he's wrong. It was another ambush. Because at that moment when he died, Jesus was crushing Satan. He was paying off your debt to God and mine. Ambushed yet again. And so you can say, "Thank you, devil. Thank you for putting Jesus on the cross, because that's how I get put into heaven." When Custer's group ambushed the rebels, it didn't seem like any big deal. It was a pretty minor skirmish. In fact, the history books hardly mention it today. Some of them don't mention it at all, because it didn't seem significant. But those rebels were on their way to support ground troops. Ground troops that were attacking an important Union position that if the Union didn't hold, they probably would lose the battle. But without the support of the cavalry, the ground troops weren't able to overcome the Union troops, if you know the battle, at Culp's Hill. And so overnight, the Union was able to regroup, send in reinforcements, win the battle. And you might say then that Custer's little plan ended up saving the Battle of Gettysburg. But when you think about it, the Battle of Gettysburg was the turning point in the Civil War. So maybe, that seemingly forgotten incident saved the entire Union. You ask a Christian, "What did Jesus do for you?" Most of them, they might say, "Jesus was born for me, for sure. Jesus died for me and rose for me. Maybe he also ascended into heaven and he's reigning for me and is going to return for me." But almost nobody's going to say, "He was tempted for me." And yet, if Jesus had not resisted the devil out there in the wilderness, he could not have passed the test for you. And he could not have died for you. So in a sense, that seemingly minuscule incident leads to Jesus saving not the Union, but something far more important, the souls of every human who've ever lived, including you. So now you can say, with completely sweet sarcasm, "Thank you, devil. Thank you for walking right into Jesus' trap. And now, do your best, Satan. Bring out your temptations. I am not scared of you. I'm trusting my victorious Lord Jesus. And devil, you've been ambushed." In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand for the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
As God's people who know Satan has been defeated, that God is our refuge and strength, and that our Heavenly Father answers our prayers, let us speak to him as loved children speak to their loving fathers. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bless your people. Assure every Christian that you have overcome the devil. New Nathan, Jerry, Bryce, Nicholas, Molly, Shannon, Travis, Ian, Drew, and all those as your baptized children. Bring back to our fellowship to those who have been away and enable us to resist temptation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, protect your church. We remember that with thanksgiving, those whose souls rest with you, guide the leaders of our congregation of St. Mark, Zion, St. Luke, and Trinity congregations. Provide all pastors strength and faithfulness. Bring unbelievers to faith in Jesus, and give us love for speaking about Christ's saving work. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, have mercy on our nation. Do not punish us as we deserve. Guide and protect those who govern us. Replace those who govern for their own benefit, who allow the destruction of lives created, or promote what is immoral and harmful. Fill us with conviction and courage to promote peace, to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves, and to work justice for all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Forgive us for coveting more when you have given us so much. Prompt us to bring our first fruits to you. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ so that we give generously to your work in this congregation and beyond. Use our offerings to glorify you, proclaim your love, and benefit all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, guide all husbands to love, protect, and serve their wives. All wives to submit and serve their husbands, and all parents to raise their children to know and love you. Heal every broken relationship. Lead those who seek spouses to a godly husband or wife. Fill our homes with your word, your forgiveness, and your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, provide your gracious care to those afflicted in body, mind, or spirit. Comfort the grieving, sustain the dying, and heal those who are sick or injured, especially for Fern, Al, Jeanette, Mel, Daryl, Taylor, Nina, Sharon, Matt, Tara, Steve, Charles, Darnell, Larry, Devin, Barb, Ellis, Sherry, Gertrude, and Kathy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, you feed us with the body and blood of Jesus, who did not yield to temptation, but obeyed your will and then gave his life for us. Fill us with repentant faith that recognizes our need for forgiveness and trust that you are giving us that forgiveness in the Holy Supper. Equip us to love you above all and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, give us joy and contentment as we serve you in our vocations. Lead those who are unemployed and underemployed to honorable work. Bring to repentance those who refuse to work when they are able. Prompt them to use their talents and opportunities to serve others rather than to take from others. And bless the labors of our hands, so that you are praised. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting your mercy, your Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord.
Amen.
You see.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we may be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy.
Jesus, who conquered Satan for you, has given his body and blood to you. Go in his peace. Amen. Thank you.
I do believe. God will set you above them all. Fear not the hordes of hell. Here is Emmanuel. Hail the Savior. The strong foes yield to Christ our shield. Shine splendid as the sun. Wisely fight, for time is fleeting. The hours of praise God, our triumph's sure. We need not long endure.
The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, you have strengthened us through these heavenly gifts. Grant that the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we have received in this holy and life-giving supper, may establish in us a humble repentance, steadfast faith, and a holy living. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.